Furiosa obviously doesn't have the same sort of coherence, I would say. But I think there are parts of it that were extremely powerful and strong, particularly the first act, which for folks who haven't seen it, sorry, spoiler here, takes place in and around essentially a like feminist utopian anarchist commune that Furiosa is kidnapped from as a child by raiders.
But, well, so when I saw that this is the Green Land of Many Mothers,
yeah,
that begins the film. And when I saw that, that was my impression too. Is, oh, this is going to be the commune defending itself against the raiders, and I thought that's cool. And but you know, the more I think about it, we don't really know too much about the Green Land of Many Mothers, other than it's matriarchal and seems nice, and like everybody's extremely brave and heroic. You know, I don't know if it's the commune so much as just a good place with apparently good people in it.
Well, what we do know that this is, I guess now we can actually already get into some kind of anarchist stuff here. The French anthropologist Pierre Clastres, I don't know if that's how you actually say his name, but he died in a motorcycle accident, unfortunately, I think in the early 1980s. For people who care about theories stuff, he's one of the main influences on Deleuze and Guattari in the War Machine chapter of A Thousand Plateaus. He makes the argument, while engaging with this group of people, this set of tribes called the Yanomami in and I also don't know if that's how that's pronounced, so forgive me, in South America, mostly in Brazil, that essentially this is a society that is against the state. So he sort of enters into a kind of anthropological space where people are already concerned, right? As we know, one of the primary concerns of anthropology is sort of societies without modern state forms, right? What does it look like for humans to live differently than the way we live? And the sort of dominant interpretation in anthropology before he comes along, and now this is far more common a position, was that these societies are best understood as pre-state societies, right? They're primitive in some sense. They haven't developed modern institutions, et cetera. And what Clastres wants to say is that actually in the case of the Yanomami, who by some accounts have one of the most violent societies on Earth, though there's a lot of research that shows that what that means is not what we think that means. They're not violent the way that World War I or World War II were violent. Mm-hmm. It's just a different type of violence. What he essentially argues is that these are groups of people, because it's sort of a set of tribes, who have developed structures that are anti-state, which is to say they prevent the state from forming. And this is because, like indigenous people all over the world, they have an enormous amount of experience with state forms from mm-hmm. their neighbors and encroachment and all kinds of other things. And for him, the central thing that makes this possible is the ability of every single person in the society at any given time to kill anybody else in the society. Mm. And that was immediately where my head went when I was watching the beginning of Furiosa, because you have this situation where, to paint a picture here, you have two children who are just picking fruit. They see raiders. And young Furiosa, who's very headstrong and determined, goes immediately to disable their bikes so they can't get away and tell anybody about the space that they've found, and then to kill them. She's captured in the process. But then while this is happening, she's still fighting against them, and a raiding party of sorts, or let's say a rescue party from within her society, runs out after the raiders. And we see these, you know, beautiful, idyllic nymph-like women, like literally dressed like Greek sculptures or something, mm-hmm. who are all like, you know, sniper, like sure shot, perfect aim, super strong, super fast, know how to fix motorcycles on the fly, know how to do everything, which is just to say that like the practice of building autonomy, which is partially around a capacity for violence, is clearly distributed throughout their society.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because we're talking about future primitives, right?
Yeah.
The society has collapsed. I'm not sure exactly the timeline. I guess it's like within 10 years of society collapsing.
The timeline of these movies is extremely odd. So, a reading that I, because I'm one of these people who after I watch a movie, I want to like read reviews of it and, you know.
Well, a movie like, and then that's the mark of a good film.
I'd say so. Yeah. One of the interpretations of the kind of Mad Max universe, and this is perhaps also George Miller's interpretation of it, is that Mad Max is essentially a Paul Bunyan kind of like folk hero. Uh-huh. So it's a way of telling other stories about what happened after society ended. But the actual nature of the collapse and the time period makes absolutely no sense. given how because old Max is. Because
it's all being told by the history man. We're basically seeing a film version of the history man's oral history.
Yeah, and it's pseudo-mythological in that sense. And including the imagery, right? Like, there's all of these pretty insane shots of, without ruining the end of the movie, like, necessarily, there are torture scenes or people, like, crucified, or, you know, the main villain drives a chariot that has like four motorcycles pulling it. You know, these are all sort of larger than life extreme characters. Right. And it's not clear to what extent we're supposed to understand this as an accurate representation of life in the wasteland, mm-hmm. or to what extent this is a sort of mythologized larger than life version of it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it's, you know, we are watching a apocalyptic sci-fi movie, but at the same time, it's all based on, you know, essentially this vision, if technology collapsed in 1978.
Yeah, and if you watch the first Mad Max, which I don't particularly like, it's almost, honestly, it's almost like Death Wish or something with cars. Uh-huh. It's about, you know, urban decay and all that kind of stuff. It's not about the world ending in nuclear war, which is only actually introduced, I think.
It's between the second and third movie, I think, is when the nuclear war happens.
Right? Yeah, I think that's right. And all the other stuff, we don't actually know why or how it's happening. We just know society is getting worse. And there's obviously some idea that it has to do with climate collapse.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incredible he came back and made these movies at, like, from these cult classics. It's like, it's sort of what George Lucas wanted to do with Star Wars, but he's done it so much better, with the exception of Episode 8, The Last Jedi, which is, I think... just a brilliant film in terms of narrative.
But I actually agree.
Let's not get into that right now.
I know. People get mad, but that one and Rogue One and Andor are definitely the best stuff.
Yeah.
Without it, Rogue One and Andor close.
Are great. Yeah, we'll do another episode about that at some point in the future. But yeah, getting back to Mad Max, so like Star Wars, the world building is just so compelling. You just really feel sucked in. But because it is sci-fi, there's like some realism and there's some non-realism in terms of like the heroism of these characters, where Mad Max is, you know, constantly getting like horrifically injured, but then like still fighting, you know, like fighting everybody and winning. And the same is true of Furiosa as well. And one thing that bothered me about this film is that Furiosa is just so perfect and just so heroic and just like always makes the right choice and the ethical choice. But that, you know, when you consider that this is like the history man telling the story of the great heroes of like the time after collapse, you know, it makes sense that these are like Odysseus-like epic heroes.
Well, and I would also say that it seems to me that part of what this points to is a big difference between Furiosa as a character and Mad Max as a character, because at least the way you and I were talking about this before we started, but I watched Fury Road like 2 days later, just to, you know, see how they tie together exactly. The characterization of Mad Max is sort of, you know, traumatized, freaked out, looking out for number one, reluctant hero, where, you know, he does the right thing when he's pulled into the situation, but he's not looking for it. Furiosa is presented as, even as a small child, like eminently moral, committed to, like, if anything, her actual problem is, you know, for instance, like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I'll find you in a day. Hide. And she's like, no, I need to keep fighting. Mm-hmm.
Whatever you have to do, however long it takes, promise me you'll find your way home. Plant this seed. Protect the green place. Give me this one gift. Promise.
And one might even say then that, you know, if we believe that humans are social, Max is a product of the old world and she's a product of a new world
based off
of different kinds of values of solidarity. Yeah, different than Max.
Max is a cop.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's just like, well, my family's dead. Everything I know is gone. I'm just going to wander the wasteland and try to survive.
Right.
And part of how I survive is occasionally aligning with the people who I can align with, but like totally disinterested in you know, who these people are, what they want. Like,
yeah, and I think it has, you know, obviously that's where there's a direct continuity with like a Dirty Harry kind of thing. The idea that there's like some kind of heroic, deep moral compass that's held back by a crumbling society that, you know, a police officer who has to fight against the corrupt system has. Mm. That seems a remnant there. But Furiosa is something totally different, right? Because she comes from this society that's, as you said, matriarchal, as best as we can tell, probably relatively horizontal. It definitely has strong sense of autonomy and all that kind of stuff.